All right, so chapter 8, starting in verse 18. So we'll read through to the end of the chapter, and then we're going to break it down. And this is a really good, if you guys are doing Bible memory verses, if you guys are taking notes, a lot of things that we've been reading in Romans is probably verses that you've seen on t-shirts, verses if you have like Facebook pages or any social media, you know, a lot of verses that they post up for encouragement. They come out of the book of Romans. So, verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that among many brothers." So we'll start breaking that down, and then we'll finish it off. But did you guys see do you guys recognize any verses that you see on t-shirts or anything? Or as you've been taught throughout all the scriptures, we see these verses coming up over and over as we study Matthew. We see the birth pains, right? So in our study of Romans, we've learned so far that God has worked in Christ to free his people from sin, right? So they can walk in the Spirit towards a life in peace, right? As Christians, we should have a life of peace. We should have a life where we enjoy life, where we get up in the morning and we're excited, where we have a new day, right? Because we don't know our days. Our days are numbered. We don't know if today will be our last minute, any hour. We don't know when our last day will come. So in Romans 8, 1 through 13, right, we learned about that. Walk in the Spirit towards life and peace. And then we've seen that God has brought his people into a family through adoption, right? We read that last week, that we're adopted, right, into the family. And we can cry out to God, and we can call him Father. Have you guys ever heard when they say, Abba Father, right? Abba Father. We cry out to God, right? Our Father in heaven. We get to cry out to him. He wants to spend time with you. And in Romans, we're learning this, that why it's so important to spend time with him, right? So we can have a life of hope. So we're adopted into his family. We get to call him Father. In Romans 8, last week with Gary, that's what we should have, it's probably what he taught you. And then Paul now shifts to address the problem we face right now, right? In this, it's a sin-soaked world that we live in, right? And he talks about that as birth pains. When the disciples ask Christ about the end days, he says, birth pains, right? And all these things are going to happen. And that's just the beginning of the end. So we live in this sinful world, and we experience all this stuff that seems tragic, but it's because we're waiting for that last day, because we have a hope, right? We talked about this last week. We, as Christians, our hope is that because we have a confident expectation. We broke it down as some people hope, you know, hey, I hope I get an A in school. I hope I graduate, right? When I was going to school, I was a total moron. I didn't pay attention. I didn't do my homework. So I was like, I hope I can graduate. I had to take a couple makeup classes, but I graduated. Now, but as a Christian, our hope is a confident expectation, right? As we get older, we know that the Bible is truth. And in that truth, we know that when we pass away, we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, right? That's our hope as Christians. So we have something a lot of other people don't have, because they don't have Christ. They don't have that confident expectation. They don't have that knowledge knowing that they're going to spend eternity with God. So right now, there's tension between reality, right? As Christians, the circumstances that we experience, that's our reality. And hope, that's what we can look for. And that's our hope, is our confident expectation. And in Romans 8:18, Paul starts off what we just read by addressing present sufferings to a future glory. And as you get older and as you start going over the other side and listen to Pastor Tony, there's a lot of things that you're going to learn, right? Our future glory as Christians. And it's all going to be revealed in the last days. And he puts circumstances side by side with our future hope. Our circumstances, our experiences with our future hope. And he does not dismiss the sufferings in this world and the hardships that we face because sin, right? Sin and corruption. And what caused all that sin and corruption, right? When Adam and Eve, when they had separation, said, you know, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. They didn't physically die, but spiritually they died, right? So man has been suffering for that for thousands and thousands of years. And that's why God had to send Jesus Christ down here, his only begotten son, so that he could be our propitiation, right? He goes to the altar for us. He died for us because we live and we're sinful people and we deserve death, right? So you may be a person who struggles to look beyond present hardships, right? Right now, you look at the world as we see things, and it's a really ugly place. And it's getting uglier and uglier, and I know we've talked about it. Your guys' generation, you get to see things in a different light because information is passed so fast. It's on your Instagrams, it's on your web pages and all that, and it's just information is being just shared at split, you know, nanoseconds. Things are coming through, and you're bombarded by all that. And you get to, we struggle with a lot of that. Christian kids are struggling more now than ever before. I've seen more Christian kids committing suicide, right, than ever. And it's really sad. But we have to understand that this passage that we're reading, it'll invite you to consider where your hope truly is. Is our hope right now in this world? Is it in this present time, or is our hope in the future? Right? When we go through and do the study of 1 Peter, we'll see that as suffering as a Christian, and we're going to see our hope as in the future. I think we'll probably end up doing 1 Peter next after we finish Romans. But God puts circumstances side by side with our future hope, and we get to compare that. He does not dismiss the sufferings in this world and the hardships we face because of sin's presence and the corruption of what is good. But Paul constantly points us forward to what we can hope for in Christ and how God is at work. He's really at work in the nitty-gritty, right? And he does that through the Holy Spirit. As Christians, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right, we filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, you know, we talked about this before, about like knowing right and wrong. You know, as a Christian, because you are a new creation, right? You're a new creation where when things are wrong and you know they're wrong, you feel guilty about that, right? It's the Holy Spirit putting that on your heart. So we'll look at the present about living in this world in verses 8, 20 through 22. Or I'm sorry, yeah, on 20 through 22. It says, for the creation was subject to the futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected in the hope. But because the creation itself also would be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we knew that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. So he uses the sufferings as birth pains, right? Childhood birth pains. How many of you have seen your mom go through having a child? The labor, right? What is that like? What is it like for women to have a baby? It's painful, right? How many of you would not have a baby, you girls, because you've seen the labor pains in a baby born? Yeah? So you don't want a baby because you've seen it born, right? But your body's designed for that. Your body, females' bodies are designed to have babies. But it's something that is super painful for a lot of women. It can be excruciatingly painful. They have to do nerve blockers in your spine because the pain and all that. Sometimes, like my wife, she had to have that done, you know. There's a lot of complications, but the great part is after the birth pains and after the labor, what happens? You've got this beautiful child, right? And it's an amazing thing. It's amazing that your body can go through all that and then have this beautiful creation, this beautiful baby. And so Paul's kind of explaining the world as going through all these birth pains. Creation looks forward to God's ongoing plan of salvation because it will one day be set free from the impact of sin, right? Birth pains is like the sin of the world. It's going through the earth and the world is going through all this stuff. We got this COVID-19 virus. We got people dying everywhere we go. We got Christians being persecuted. Those are birth pains, right? Because of sin. And I don't know if you realize this, but like in Kenya, where pastor's going, where they have the Shalom Learning Center that Buzz was talking about, that Shalom Learning Center, right, over there in Kenya, you know, a lot of those families live in mud huts. They don't even have floors in their houses. A lot of those families, they have a stove, and the stove is outside. It's not anything like a stove that we look at or like we have in our houses. And those kids, some of those kids have to walk miles and miles to school. I don't know how far, who lives like 2-3 miles from school? Do you take the bus and get a ride, or do you walk? Ride a bike? You ride a bike?
No, I get a ride.
You get a ride. So 3 miles. Well, TJ's the only one that doesn't get a ride to school because he's homeschooled. So he's got it pretty easy. But you guys take cars, right? Maybe a bus. We provide public transportation by school buses. And over in Kenya, they have no transportation for those kids. They have to walk to school. They have to find a ride. They have to get to school somehow, and they don't have buses like we have. You know, there's a lot of things that we take for granted. We don't see that. But I think sometimes it would be easier if we stepped back and got rid of all these amenities that we have, because we'd be so much more thankful. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, the creation experienced a separation and a distance from God. In 8:21, it talks about the corruption and bondage, right? Christ's faith sees evil as an invader, right? It's an invader into God's creation. Sin and evil has invaded more now. I mean, it's crazy. I look at things, especially the transgender thing going on, right? It's got people split. It's got churches split, governors, states, politicians, family members. And, you know, the Bible is specific about it. The Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. An abomination, right? That's not anything where it's like, oh, well, you know, God is just messing around. He loves everybody. It's okay how you live. He says that that is an abomination and you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? That's pretty powerful stuff. So Christians, we see evil as an invader, right? It should be seen as an invader into God's good world, and we struggle to understand and explain evil because it's something completely foreign to what we were designed to experience. We were designed, right, to love God. We had separation because of sin, and now sin is rampant in the world. We experience it every day. The creation is corrupted, and it's groaning, and it's looking forward to being set free from sin. And when we either pass away, we move on, we die, we get free from the bondage of this life, and when Jesus comes back, right, that's when we're going to see our separation from sin, from the world. And we're going to see a beautiful place. And then, so also in 23, it says, now, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So this passage really tells us that we groan inwardly, meaning that we feel the impact of sin personally, right? Sin can affect our family members, but sin can also, it affects us personally, whether we realize it or not. It's just like alcoholism, right? I have family members that have been alcoholics. An alcoholic doesn't just affect them, the person that's drinking, it affects all the family members involved with them, right? And that's just like sin. Sin doesn't just affect you, but sin can affect everyone involved. It can affect your family member depending on what your sin is, right? So it's groaning. Our body is groaning. You experience this in many ways, like your body aging. We get old, right? I'm getting old. I'm starting to get wrinkles. Frank's in here. He's got lots of wrinkles. He's getting old, right? We might have to get him a cane to walk out of here. But our body's aging. We're getting older. And we got a lot of sickness, right? Sometimes we feel betrayed. We have depression. A lot of people are battling depression right now. One of the things I struggle with as a Christian even is anxiety. I have a lot of anxiety. I don't know why. I wake up, man, I'm like, oh, I got a million things to do. My business is really busy. I don't know why, but a lot of times I have anxiety. Sometimes I have anger. You know, we deal with all this stuff. These are all warning lights. How many of you have ever had a warning light come on your parents' car or one of your cars? Check engine light. You know that people actually, it's no lie because of the industry I'm in. You guys know I sell tools for a living to car dealers and mechanics and stuff. And people actually will drive their car. They can't figure out what's wrong with it. So they'll just put tape on their dashboard to cover out the engine light. Right? I'm not lying. You could get a TPMS. So that's a tire pressure monitoring system. So the federal government mandated years ago that you had to put all manufacturers had to put a tire pressure monitoring sensor in the tire. So if you have a flat tire or if your tire goes low, it warns you, right? It warns you, hey, you have a low tire. Some people fill their tire up. They realize that the sensor's faulty. They don't replace the sensor, which is about $60. They'll just put a piece of tape over the dashboard. But warnings, man, we got these warning lights, and it's like we have to wake up to that. We have to understand that, hey, you know what? Time out. We were in the Bible, right? We're seeing that maybe how we're living or what we're doing is wrong. We got these birth pains. We got this sin. And maybe it's time we say, hey, time out. Maybe we got to get back to the basics and start spending time in the Word, right? Praying, spending time in the Word, looking out for those warning signs. These are all these warning lights, kind of things that we should know what to do and what not to do. But that the Holy Spirit in your life, you probably know. We've talked about that before. When you know you're going to do something wrong, or maybe you pre-planned something or something happened in your life and you feel guilty about it, you know, the Holy Spirit working on you. And you know it's wrong, but sometimes we still do it anyways. But indeed, in Christ, our inner person has been renewed and we've been given a redeemed spirit. And we read that in Ephesians 1:16. But we still lack one thing, and we wait for it, the redemption of our bodies, right? We await a day when we can run and not grow weary. We wait a day when we can walk and not faint. Does anyone remember what verse that's in? Isaiah 40:31, right? A day when we can run and not grow weary, where we can walk and not faint. But Christ came and made a pathway forward for us to be spiritually restored in a relationship with God. And he will come again to set the creation free from bondage to sin, and to redeem our bodies along with this physical world. So verses 8 through 24 through 25, we see hope really is a confidence in what God has promised, right? Based on past, present, and future goodness. So let's read that real quick, 24 through 25. It says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. This is a great place to be because it helps us experience the helplessness, right, of our situation and forces us towards really having an understanding of God. However, many of us can be unsettled and frustrated at times, right? As young adults, you guys get frustrated because mom doesn't understand me, dad won't let me stay at my friend's house, I didn't get the car I wanted, right? So we have all these frustrations in all kinds of things in our lives. But our frustration, as you get a little bit older, You're going to see frustrations in people. You're going to see frustrations in government. You're going to see frustrations in people that we vote for, right? But we have a future hope, knowing that all this in our life right now, everything that we're going through right now is just temporary, right? It's just temporary. You guys are, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, right? And everything around you, you think, oh my gosh, this is my whole life. I have my whole life ahead of me. But your life is just temporary. Remember, while we're on this planet, it's a vapor, right? Have you guys ever seen a vapor? It's just a vapor. Our life on this planet is just a vapor. It's going to vanish in no time compared to what eternity is, what God has for us planned. So the creation groans in verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us or helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, what does a groaning mean? What does that mean? What does that mean to anybody? So he's making intercession for us. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, right? Sometimes our life is so complicated, or we think it's complicated. And, I wake up sometimes in the morning too, and I'm just like, I don't even know what to pray for today, right? He's making intercession for us. God knows what we need. God knows what he needs for us for that day, because he provides those provisions for that day, right? We're supposed to live today for today. Worry about tomorrow. We don't worry about tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow comes and it has its own worries. 27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he gives us even more hope, because the Holy Spirit will always pray for us in accordance with God's will, right? The Holy Spirit, God knows what we need. He knows. And that's really to be more like Jesus Christ, right? That's what we're called to be. We talked about this before, about love, right? If we love people, what would this world look like? If we loved each other more, because God, right? Jesus said the greatest commandment is love thy neighbor, or love God, right? Love God, put other gods before him. Love your neighbor like yourself, right? Love, honor God, worship God. Right? And then love our neighbors, love people, love each other, our brothers and sisters, people we don't know. What would that look like if we had more love for each other? It'd be a totally different world, right? But unfortunately, we live in a world where we become lovers of ourselves, lovers of things, lovers of possessions. But confess to God that you do not know sometimes what to pray for. But we desire him, right? Our desire is to love God. Our desire is to be close to him. Spend time with them. So, let's see here. I want to keep going. So, we're going to start it. We're going to do 31, follow through. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who's heard that before? Yeah? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a change or charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, this would have been in Psalms 44:22. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. So nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. How amazing is that? You gave your life to Christ. You confessed, right? and you believe that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, for our sins, right? But you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you're going to sit throughout your life, you're going to see this on here, on shirts, on t-shirts. You'll see it on billboards and you'll see it on church walls. Nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's powerful stuff. That's amazing that the creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe, he holds the universe in the span of his hand. We talked about that before. That's how massive and amazing God is, and yet he wants to sit down and have a personal relationship with you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he created the entire universe. And we're going to go over that on our Wednesday nights. We're going to do some really cool stuff to explain the universe, to explain the depths of things, and explain the depth of God himself. And so you can have a really good understanding of how amazing he is. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And if you don't know Christ personally, if you've never accepted him, when we get done, we'll pray for you and we'll come see Erica, myself, or one of the other pastors, or Gary, and we need to pray with you guys. You need to have a relationship. So today, before we go, we're going to do communion. Does everyone know what communion is for? All right, so we're going to pray, and then we'll do communion real quick here. Oh, you want you go ahead and hand it out. You hand that out.